and raring to go.
Of course, we have the salt. We have umbrellas. We have lighting in case the power goes out. We are well prepared.
All as the snow falls here in Western Maryland. Scott Wyckoff for CBS News along Interstate 68 in Frostburg.
The police chief in Sanford, Florida is out.
From day one, Trayvon Martin's parents and their supporters have demanded that police chief Bill Lee be fired or resign. Now CBS News has confirmed that Lee is quitting permanently. On March 22nd, he stepped down temporarily to avoid being what he called a distraction to the case. But because Sanford police failed to arrest George Zimmerman the night of the shooting, Lee's name has been at the center of the case ever since.
CBS's Peter King in Orlando. The White House staff members came up clean in the Cartagena prostitute scandal involving Secret Service and military members.
The White House says its counsel's office has determined no member of the president's staff was involved in any wrongdoing during the now infamous visit to Colombia. Spokesman Jay Carney describes it as a voluntary internal review, part of due diligence, even though he says there have been no credible allegations of misconduct against White House staffers.
CBS's Peter Mayer at the White House. A dozen military members are implicated. Defense Secretary Panetta announced today security clearances are being suspended pending the investigation. Bribes may be common for doing business in Mexico, but paying them is technically illegal, according to U.S. law. So the bribery scandal at Walmart in Mexico could wind up costing the company a pretty penny. The opinion of white-collar defense lawyer Jacob Frankel.
Total cost at the end of the day of this investigation and the consequence of the investigation to Walmart can easily see it being close to or in excess of $1 billion.
Two Democrats on Capitol Hill say they are launching an investigation into allegations of bribery at Walmart stores in Mexico. On Wall Street, the Dow down 115 points. NASDAQ has lost 32. Oil right at 103 a barrel. This is CBS News.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk. That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Books matter, and reading is fundamental. And some people can't afford to buy them or never learned the joy inside the pages of a good book. That's what tonight is all about.
It's a simple premise. Publishers and stores give A-list books to an army of volunteers.
To specifically and individually go find someone in a nursing home, in a school, on a train, and say, I have a book I love. I'd like you to have one.
Carl Leonard says World Book Night started in Great Britain last year and has spread to the U.S. so volunteers can promote reading.
That's something that you personally love. You're giving a little bit of yourself.
Heather Bosch, CBS News.
A college education is by no means a shortcut to a good job these days. The latest government data show half of young college grads these days are either out of work or way underemployed. The fields with the strongest demand are science, education, and health. Job prospects this past year were the worst in more than a decade. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Do you suffer from a magnesium deficiency?
My doctor told me I needed more magnesium, so he recommended I use Magox 400.
You're not alone. Millions of Americans don't get enough magnesium in their daily diet. And magnesium is a critical nutrient that helps you convert carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. Doctor-recommended Magox 400 is made with the most concentrated form of magnesium available, and each dose of Magox 400 provides all the magnesium you need each day.
Magox 400's magnificent.
Try Magox 400, the magnificent magnesium supplement.
Hey, we got things to talk about today. You're Bill Benneke, Talkers Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. I thank you for joining me on this, the day after Earth Day and the big marathon in San Luis.
And now, here's Bill Benneke.
Yahooey. Hey, happy Monday, kind of, and it's, you know, we got rain and everything, but it's a Monday, it's good, you know, you wake up with your feet hit the floor, everything's cool. All right, here, did you do Earth Day? We had the big marathon yesterday, I heard lots of crowd noises, but I stayed indoors the whole time. but it was Earth Day, so my wife and I, to celebrate Earth Day, you know, got down and dirty. Now, here's the other thing that happened yesterday that's quite fascinating, and that is the fact that the Dodgers were shut out 12-0. By Houston, and that's the worst thing that's happened since 2004. So what do we do when that happens with the Dodgers? Same thing we do when they win.
If there's nothing quite as tall, we say it's the tallest. If its strength knows no equal, it's the strongest. Loudest, longest, neatest, coolest, mostest. In other words, if it's the best, it's the est. Enter Charter Internet, already with the fastest download speeds. Now our customers get even more speed for free. Guess that makes it the fastest est. Try saying that 5 times fast. Don't already have Charter Internet? What are you waiting for? Preview Charter Internet Express, now with speeds up to 12 megs for only $19.99 a month for 3 months as part of a 2-year price guarantee. We think you'll agree, it's good to be the fastest. Est. To sign up for the fastest speeds, call 1-855-2-GET-FAST or visit charter.com/freefast today. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Offer expires 4/30/11. Package rates apply in months 4 through 24. Installation, taxes, fees, surcharges, and equipment extra. Early termination fees and restrictions apply.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Visit ccslo.com right now, because it'll help you with your computer. And don't forget the other thing that Central Coast, Coast Computers do, is they can make you a computer. They can build you a computer. Let's say you're a big gamer and you like to have all whatever you need for gaming, you can do that. If you like to have storage for music, movies, whatever. They can just do a whole general, you know, Department of Defense computer for you if you need one. They can do whatever you want. They're good at it. They know what they're doing. And they use good parts. All right, let's talk about what happened on this day in history, according to this review, in our flashback on April 23rd, 1789. President-elect George Washington and his wife Martha moved into the first exclusive mansion, the Franklin House in New York. On this day in 1616, English poet and dramatist William Shakespeare died at the age of 52. That's it. We got a lot of birthdays. Actress Shirley Temple Black is 84. Actor Lee Majors is 73. Actress Blair Brown is 64. Filmmaker Michael Moore is 58. Actress Judy Davis is 57. Actress Valerie Bertinelli is 52. Actor George Lopez is 51. Actor Aaron Hill is 29. And actor Dev Patel, I knew everyone until we got to that, is 22. So happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's your birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Most smokehouse barbecues been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Hey, we got some Calcoast news right now to share with you. I'm Bill Becker sharing it. Templeton resident appealing the redistricting ruling. He lost a lawsuit last month, which argued the recent redrawn political boundaries failed to follow government code in filing an appeal with the Second District Court of Appeals in Ventura. William Pelfrey said he had filed his original suit because he believed the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors failed to follow government regs regarding redistricting and instead drew supervisory boundaries in an attempt to improve several board members' chances at reelection. Other things that are said here. In March, Superior Court Judge Jack Crawford ruled in favor of the supervisors. He said he saw no evidence that the board had political motivations and threw out Pelfrey's lawsuit. Now, if you remember, they had cut Templeton right in half. They cut it right in half, which didn't make sense to anybody in the whole wide world except apparently this judge. So anyway, he's going to appeal this thing. But no matter what, this will stand for. The boundaries stand until the end of 2012. So interesting story. I think they were then adjusted by the school district, was it? Anyway, so, they were changed a little bit, but still odd. And I'm going to warn you today, and I hate to start the week like this, but I'm going to warn you today. For some reason, I have three computers that are all working sluggishly. What could that mean? Because they're attached to different things. They're three separate computers. They're not all using the same program in any way, shape, or form. So I don't quite understand what's going on. But what the heck, that's all right. That's good. Let's get on with life here. See what's going on. Slow Attorney gets a raise amid a recent agreement between the city and its management staff to forego raises for 2 years. On April 17th, the San Luis Obispo City Council approved a 3.5% performance-based raise for the city attorney. Before the 4-1 vote with Councilman Dan Carpenter dissenting, the council discussed Attorney Christy Dietrich's recent performance evaluation, which rated her as highly competent. The raise increases her salary to $160,437 bones. In December, in a 3-2 vote with Councilwoman Kathy Smith and Councilman Carpenter dissenting, the city passed the $807,000 cut in management annual pay and benefits, which included the city's top managers agreeing to forego any salary increases for 2 years. Both Smith and Carpenter argued at the time that the more reductions in compensation were needed to help balance the city's budget. Dietrich's new salary went into effect on April 12th. And you might say, well, what's up with that? And I would answer, not the faintest idea. All right, corruption in Oxnard, for gosh sakes. A nearly two-year criminal probe of Oxnard by the Ventura County District Attorney's Office ended with no arrests, no charges, no anything, even though the investigators found serious financial abuses. In the 99-page report, investigators described tax accounting and sloppy record-keeping that all but made the process and production impossible. In addition, the report says the status of limitations has expired and available evidence, along with significant changes in state law last year that dramatically raised the burden of proof for prosecutors, didn't support filing any criminal charges. The report describes non-suspended city manager Ed Sotelo twice violating the law by getting a personal loan of $10,000 from the city and by creating a $300 a month retirement perk for top managers. These things go unpunished. We say to ourselves, well, why is that? And we don't find out why. At least they've got to find out what the report said, unlike the people in the city of Paso Robles who don't get to find out what the report said. So is that an improvement in life right there? Hard to say. All right, other things going on. This is a big story that finally came to fruition at the end of last week. And this is the Slow family that was awarded $74 million for medical malpractice. After 2 days of deliberation, they found Dr. Kurt Hopp. They said he was at fault. And Sophia Blunt, who's now 3 years old, suffering brain damage when she was born at Sierra Vista Medical Center on April 19, 2009. She now has cerebral palsy. On Friday, the jury found that Dr. Kurt Hopp was responsible for the botched delivery that occurred at Sierra Vista, and the family's attorney argued a lack of oxygen to the brain resulted in the cerebral palsy, which is estimated to cost $35 to $50 million
during the child's lifetime. Service and Regional Medical Center was also originally named as defendant in the suit and subsequently settled for an undisclosed amount. And so I know there's a lot of supporters of the doctor that are unhappy, and there's a lot of, but apparently the jury was very happy they could award that sum of money to the family because they hugged him and did all kinds of stuff like that when they came out. So that's where that's going. Other things that are going on. Well, we have this story here. A man who registered as a sex offender for previously committing lewd acts on a child under 14 was arrested Tuesday for claiming to be a transient while living in a home across the street from the Oceano Elementary School. Francis Stanley Costa, 68, told police he said he was a transient because he did not want to register the address on the 1700 block of Paso Robles Street because it was close to an elementary school, a violation of his sex offender laws. Sheriff was arrested Costa for failing to register as a sex offender and booked him in San Luis Obispo County Jail in lieu of a $50,000 bail. So that's some of what's going on in our Central Coast. To check calcoastnews.com anytime 24/7 because new stuff pops up all the time. And if you want to listen to KYNS live streaming, you can go to Talk Is Cheap in the upper right corner. You'll get Talk Is Cheap when I'm on the air, and then you'll get whatever else is on the air whenever else is on the air. So that's our report from calcoastnews.com.
calcoastnews.com on KYNS, your news station.
So no, I didn't run the marathon. No, I didn't. But here's the thing: they said that we had a lot of heads in the beds as far as the motels and hotels and whatever you call them around town, and that was really good news. And so exactly how much revenue it brought to the city, maybe they'll have a guesstimate at some point, and so we'll know. But they said we did well, so that's kind of good news right there. Which now here, can I tell you the truth? The marathon idea is, I think, is a kind of a Groovius Maximus idea. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And because the downtown area is, they just get there at 9 o'clock in the morning or done by 7:30, I don't think that really affects hardly anybody. Why would it? Come on, why would it? All right. But then, in today's Tribune, in today's Tribune, maybe it was yesterday's Tribune. Was it today's Tribune? Yesterday's Tribune. I'll find it for you. I just got to tell you. Because here somebody had an idea, but it was one of the more unusual ideas I've ever heard, that what could happen in Morro Bay to make money right here. Oh, here it is right here. Fund more arts in Morro Bay. So here was this gentleman here is Tom Harrington, who's lived in San Francisco County since 74, most recently in wonderful Morro Bay. He's had many occupations from wilderness trail cook to executive vice president of Pioneering International Biomass Company. He's a member of the Rough Riders Group in Cameron. Now, I'll share with the ideas that he has, and then you judge them as on their own merit. And the other thing is that then you ask, but every time you have to judge that, then you have to say who would in fact the city of Morro Bay allow it. So you have to have that. Okay. So here's what he had. One of the things was you got that crazy artist guy that puts big things all over Christo. So Christo gets his own financing and everything. So he's thinking Christo could do some kind of fancy schmancy thing on the stacks of Morro Bay. You know, it would be temporary, but they could do that. Then they had the other idea, had the other thing. He talked about having more than that, and then having them permanent look. The idea with the stacks is as they are, they sort of, everybody that's lived here, and it's him since 1974, after a while you get used to them, and then they're just part of Morro Bay. Then Morro Bay will look almost goofy without them. And then and they blend in because they don't stand out. They're not some funny color or anything. They got lights on the top because of airplanes, but at night. But other than that, it's So, but that's the thing. Now here's the other thing he thought of doing: zip lines from the southernmost stack. The zip line would go to Tidelands Park, so you'd actually go swooshing across the Embarcadero. You'd be above the restaurants and whatnot, and you'd see if you can find a good place to eat. And then you can go to Tidelands Park. Don't zip lines have to go two different directions? I guess they could have some kind of mechanical thing that makes them go one way. Then the other one was his center stack. His idea was to have a zip line that goes out to the end of the breakwater. Now, understand something. I think this is the coolest idea in the whole wide world, but I'm just saying, is the city of Morro Bay going to buy this thought? But then here's where it all of a sudden goes to hell in a handbasket. I promise, guarantee you, there's no question in my mind. Because he wants the north stack. He said, okay, put another zip line up there and have it go to Cloisters Park. Well, the rich people that live there, I really don't think want to have a zip line going over their homes.
I don't think they do. I don't know rich people that well, but the few that I've met, they're persnickety, and I don't think they really like that. But it's a kind of fun thought. I'm going to give you this. It was a fun thought. Maybe two out of three. Could we do two out of three, or maybe just one? Right? Because if you ziplined out to the breakwater, you know, at the end of the breakwater, they put a little platform up there. You know, not too high, not too ornate or anything. Just a simple little thing. The boats can make sure they can get under. And you zipline, that would be fun. I'd go for that program. I think the city should approve that right away. To tell the truth. Of course, then you have who's going to have the liability of people climbing up the stack, or how are you going to put an elevator in? What are you going to do? I'm trying to think this through. How are you getting the people up there? You know, how are you getting off to the zipper? Because one difference between this zip line and most zip lines is you're not starting from a higher part of terra firma, and then going to a lower part of terra firma. You are actually climbing a smokestack. I like that better than Christo coming and putting some kind of funny flags on it or something, you know what I mean? But, you know, who knows? And then he says, but it would be a big draw. Now, I don't want to be ignorant, but I've seen what Christo's done. It's interesting. I've seen pictures of it. I wouldn't drive to Morro Bay to see the stacks decorated by Christo. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. But a lot of people would, maybe. That's what he's hoping. So anyway, that's what they're working on right now. Coming up this weekend, was it this next coming weekend? Big flag flying day and happiness and joy in Morro Bay. You know, they have a special day going on, and that's going on. Let me see. I got the tail of that right here. Speaking of kites, shut up. All right, here was right here. This was by Judy Salamacha, and she says cars, kites, floats, and fun lie ahead right there. April 27th to May 6th in Morro Bay and Los Osos. Weekend events, Los Angeles Baywood Chamber of Commerce is going to be from 5:30 to 7:30 Friday in South Bay Community Center. Think global, shop local, and all this kind of stuff. So they got dinners, they got all kinds of events. They got Celebrate Morro Bay Parade is going to set to run along Morro Bay Boulevard. Then they're going to have Grizzly Youth Academy drill team and all that kind of stuff. Then the Selenians are going to bless the winds at Morro Rock. Then you have the Kite Festival going on, and then there's just all kinds of great stuff going on. Sunday, don't miss the 26th Annual American Association of University Women's Garden Tour. For a $10 donation, you can go into people's backyards, even when they're not home, and say hello. So that's what's going on there. So that's exciting. All right, Morro Bay. I like Morro Bay a lot. The first place I lived when I came to the Central Coast, mine 35 years ago. All right. Now, I have another thing that's going on. This may sound really weird, okay? But it is weird. But I can't explain it any further than I can. I have an older brother who just had his birthday, I think he's 66, I think 67, something like that. Anyway, I don't know, but he's something like that. And so the point is this. He and his wife are coming out. They're going to Disneyland and staying at the Disneyland Hotel next month. And then they're going to go on that Disney cruise thing that they have, you know, because he's a big Disney guy. Yeah? So they're going to go on the Disney cruise thing. And then the interesting thing is this. My brother's wife, Ellie, she said, well, when's the last time we saw each other? I said, I have the faintest idea. I don't know. And she said, I think I know. It was a reunion we had a few years after you got back from Vietnam, and then I saw you when you got back from Vietnam. So I've seen my sister-in-law twice, because the other times we've had sort of get-togethers every 10 years or so in Vegas. I've only seen my sister-in-law, though, that sister-in-law twice the whole time she's been my sister-in-law. So this will be interesting, I think. But they're only going to be here a day. They're coming on a Friday afternoon and leaving the next Friday, and leaving Saturday afternoon. So we're trying to plan. You know, the Central Coast, there's so many places to go. There's so many things to do. It's so beautiful here. And you're saying, okay, what can we kind of cram in without making it seem like it's crammed in real bad? So we're figuring that out. We're going to think through it all. You really don't have the luxury, if they're going to leave in the afternoon, to come in the afternoon, they leave in the afternoon, you don't really have the luxury, maybe it depends on when they get here on the afternoon, because maybe we could go south to Pismo and show them the southern part of our life. But, you know, we were thinking of taking them up to San Simeon. You can't take a tour of the castle because there's not enough time for what they're doing. But you can say, there's the castle, that's that thing that's way, and we can bring binoculars. There's the castle that's out there. And then stop at the San Simeon General Store, get a chocachola or something. And then head back. Okay. All right. Go through the Mighty Muke, and show them where we have the big festival for Memorial Day. And then maybe dine in Morro Bay itself. That's what we're thinking. I'm going to make a Santa Maria barbecue the night before. Because if you come into the Central Coast and you're not cooking a Santa Maria barbecue for your family, there's not something not right with you. Of course, you could take them out and have somebody else do it. Which, probably. Nah, you got to do it yourself. I'm right there. I'm ready to go. All right, we got to get to things today. We got stuff to get to and all that. I'm scared to death about some of the stuff I downloaded because of the way things have been working so far. But you never know. You never know. Sometimes things will work out for you. If anybody saw, what's the guy's name, Craig Ferguson? If anybody saw that guy, it'd be interesting to know how he was. You know, I didn't see him, but if anybody saw him. What other things crossed my brain this weekend? Here's a small thing that's just kind of interesting to me. It got a bad review, and which is too bad because the woman, you know, she's trying on all these different shows, and that's Julia Louis-Dreyfus is now in a TV show called Veep, and it's about she's a vice president, and then that's funny by itself, I suppose. But anyway, you know what one of the problems is, I think, with her last show? Why in the world do they name her last show The New Adventures of Old Christine instead of just calling it Julia? I think it would have gotten more viewership, but I don't know about that. And then here's an interesting thing they said, and I'm not surprised. They said that the young people are watching a lot less network television. So they're kind of scratching their heads going, well, what are we going to do about that? And they're not sure what's going on with that. And especially the younger people. They love the younger people. You know, they're big on younger people. And so that's part of the program right there. And so they're like, how come they're not watching anymore and all that? I think I can tell you why, really. U.S. networks watch with growing alarm as TV viewers tune them out. I don't know if they meant this tongue-in-cheek the way they wrote this first line or not. It is the police procedural that has network executives scratching their heads this season, the case of the disappearing viewers. That's the answer right there, in my opinion. How many cop shows are there on TV now? There always has been cop shows. You know, we had Miami Vice and we had Magnum PI, and you go back further than that. We've always had cop shows, you know, forever and ever. Kojak. We've always had the cop shows. But now, the CSI, is that what it's called? That's Crime Scene Investigation, I take it, because I've never watched one. So, but now we got these CSIs out the yin-yang, and we got all these cop shows. And I think you can just sort of saturate people with stuff like that. You know, that's when they turn on the Food Network like I do. You know, I vicariously get fatter and taste things. And then there's other stuff that's on cable. But you get a guy to Charter. We just told you, get Charter. It's smarter. And get your stuff going on. All right, get your stuff going on. I watched an hour of it wasn't the thing about the frozen planet, it was another show like that, and it had to do with nature and whatnot, and David Attenborough was the guy as opposed to Alec Baldwin who was narrating. But here's the point I was going to make. You know, they constantly use this term. There's certain terms that are only used for certain things, and I'm not sure why. They say, you know, like if for instance they were saying this part of the ocean was teeming with fish. Well, when I get to Spencer's Fresh Markets ad today, I'm going to use the expression teeming with groceries.
For three decades now, slow roasted coffee has been waking up the Central Coast. Most of you already know that your local grocery stores carry slow roasted coffee, but I'll bet you didn't know that you can now shop directly at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. That's right, walk in the door and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. When you shop at Slow Roasted Coffee, you'll find an expanded variety of coffee choices. And when you buy a 10-pound bag of your favorite coffee blend, you'll save an additional 10%. One more good thing, you'll receive two free samples with your order. So come on by and see for yourself where Slow Roasted Coffee comes from. You can shop weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Just give them a call in advance, please. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. And they'll have your order waiting for you. Find slow roasted coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Slow roasted coffee, a tradition that tastes great.
Conquering the charts worldwide, the legendary Go-Go's, live. May 3rd, on stage at Shumash Casino Resort. Reserve seats on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or 1-800-585-3737. The Go-Go's. For more, go to Go-Go's.com.
It's called Finger Dance by Billy McLaughlin. It sounded kind of like a fingery dance, he did it. Didn't it sound kind of like that? Okay. I thought so, too. Let me see, because that was a little slow itself getting going right there, which was a little bit too in. But let me see. Let me see if I can get one of these to play. I got stuff to read you, too. I got things I want to share with you. I got things I want to tell you about that you're not going to see in your local rag. Now, we've heard about this, though, but here's the thing. And this is the really weird thing about it. You know where the guy was reporting from when he was reporting from CBS? He was reporting from, I wrote it down, Frostburg, Pennsylvania. Well, what do you expect from Frostburg, Pennsylvania? A large snowstorm came barreling through the northeast on Monday, threatening to drop 16 inches in some areas and frustrate the commuters. By Monday morning, today, Newfield, New York, was reporting 10 inches of snow, while Ridgebury, Pennsylvania, had 8 inches. More accumulation was expected, especially in higher elevations. The blustery blast follows a mild winter that saw little snow and the warmest March on record. The last time we had a big snowstorm across the East Coast was back in October, when fall foliage was still on the trees, said CNN meteorologist Rob Marciano. This has been a crazy, crazy winter, the region, he said. join the club. We've had a lot of weather. And all over the place. And so we know what you're talking about. All right, let me see.
These things aren't even coming up. I mean, I just they scare me to death. Yeah, okay. Let's see if this will happen for us. This is it says lawmaker takes aim at the Secret Service. This is a silent ad for Amtrak. That's how they do it. It'll be over in 2 seconds.
This is pretty serious. I mean, if this agent did indeed bring someone, a foreign national, to the hotel where the president was going to sleep or did sleep, that's a little more serious than the other allegations against those other 11 agents, isn't it?
Absolutely. But and it is. And the reason, of course, is we've all said that one of the reasons that this is so serious is because a foreign national going into a secured area where the agent has the itinerary of the commander-in-chief or any other dignitary that was traveling with him is, I think, of the highest level of inappropriate termination behavior.
If this is true, the director, some say the director of the Secret Service ought to go. I mean, it happened on his watch, he ought to go. If this allegation is true, should he go?
Here's what I'd like to see happen. First of all, I'd like Congress to hurry up and get in gear. And if someone said that we should be in a constant oversight role, and we are in an oversight role, you can't ask every single question until, of course, this horrible incident has arisen. With respect to Director Sullivan, when I landed on last Monday from Columbia, he was a person that I had the opportunity to immediately meet with. We met for over 2 hours. And I saw his pain, but I also saw his resolve. Let's let him get to the bottom of this. We have confidence that he is in the process of doing the most thorough investigation. He is sending agents.
Getting to the bottom of it was the whole problem to begin with, so I think you should avoid that. And then I think what will happen is eventually we're going to have just Secret Service eunuchs, and they'll be the ones that go overseas. And this reminds me of a really unfortunate thing when I was in Vietnam. As the chief never came out on the boats. I mean, and we were out on patrol, and all of a sudden the chief shows up. I'm like, what the heck's that? And so he said, here, I need you to sign this. I go, what is it? He said, I just want you to know that they suspect something not good is going to happen to the River Division. And so I want you to sign that you acknowledge that you've seen this, and that, you know, so make sure that, you know, you don't do business with the sampans. You don't have any prostitutes come on board, which, can I tell you the truth, on my boat, we were all scared to death. We were a bunch of weenies. When you're afraid enough, I don't know how anybody could have sex when you're that afraid, but some people did on some boats. But the weird thing is, I'm signing this, I'm looking up at the boat that's about a quarter mile away, and there's a prostitute being loaded into a sampan. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, chief, good idea. Okay, here you go. I kept his attention so he would look at me for a while. Anyway, but here's the weird thing. And then it turned out that it was true. If you ever doubt naval intelligence, can I tell you that for one time there was actually intelligence that was real? And unfortunately, there was no way to prepare for what did happen, and they mined an LST that we were tied up next to and killed 25 people. So we weren't really prepared for anything quite like that, I can tell you. I don't think it had anything to do with the women on the sampans, but it's just no way to know. Right? I think they're checking out stuff. All right, other things going on. You know the Secret Service thing. It's always like we're trying to find something that's beyond the face value of it. You know, besides the obvious. Well, we got to dig into the backgrounds of some other people now and figure out. Okay, fine. You know, but you know, we throw it out to the media, and which we'd have, and I'm the media talking about it right now. And it just gets crazier and crazier. Matter of fact, what's her name today? Kathleen Parker. She wrote a thing and said, "Are you serious? Can you get any crazier than you are now?" And yes, we can. Here's the thing that this has to do with the dog. Reporters so gleeful have found a worse dog story about Obama than they have lashed out with rabidity. Romney may have carted his dog Seamus in a crate strapped to the roof of his car, but Obama ate the dog. Oh, the humanity. or lack of it. Anyway, it's just foolishness. You know, we microscope everything to the point that there's absolutely no point to it. There's just no point to it. But let me remind you, because you may say, well, I tune in on this Bill Benneker guy. You know, he's talking about what's in the news and stuff, and that's not really what I talk to. It's not why I tune to KYNS. Well, but don't forget, that's just 2 hours a day. All the rest of the time, most of the time, from 6 o'clock in the morning and then till noon, then from 2 o'clock till 10 o'clock, you can listen to a point of view. Or you can turn to KBC and listen to another point of view. Or if you're very clever, and I had a few disc jockeys that could do this. I don't know how they did it. But they could listen to about five things at once and to make sure they were queued up right or whatever. I don't know how they did it. Anyway, you can do that. Or here's an interesting thing, though, but be careful, because here's a story. Let me see if this thing will come up. TV background. Say background TV is bad for kids. It should be bad for everybody, you'd think, but let's find out what it says. And believe me, this thing's taking its time, so I just want to tell you that I'm really glad you're with me on this Monday, and this should be a darn good week, I think. I'm looking forward to a good week, even though it's supposed to rain soon. Here's the Amtrak ad that's quiet. It's basically showing you all the money you're saving by taking Amtrak. Okay, but it's not really working that well, as you can tell. This does not bode well for the story. All right, but this is it. There it is, sort of.
All right, for all you parents out there with the television on in the background, you might not think it's a problem, but a new study says it actually is. Our senior medical correspondent, Elizabeth Cohen, she's joining us in Atlanta. Elizabeth, why? Tell us about this new study.
It's a very interesting study, Suzanne, because it didn't look at how much television kids were watching per se. They looked at when it's on in the background, and I know this is how a lot of families function. And what they found was that on average, these kids were watching, this number was mind-blowing to me, 232 minutes of background television per day. So that is just under 4 hours where the TV was on in the background. And what they found was that it was worse if the child was African American, and it was worse if the child was under two. In other words, those two groups of children really had even more television on in the background. And TV on in the background has been shown to cause problems such as those kids don't perform as well on cognitive tests, and they have a lower attention span.
And a lot of people would think, why would it even be a problem to have that on in the background? Is it really that distracting?
Right. I mean, at first I thought, well, people have music on in the background, so what's the big deal about having TV on in the background? But the expert put it this way. He said television is designed to get your attention, right? I mean, television is designed to say, hey, watch me. And so a kid will be, let's say, doing a puzzle, and then they'll be distracted and all of a sudden want to turn to the television. Or a kid might be trying to nap. And then all of a sudden, the television is on, and then something loud comes on, and that child is awakened from a nap. So those are the reasons why a TV may be worse than, let's say, having soft music in the background.
So the solution would seem obvious then, right? Just turn off the TV. Wouldn't that solve the problem?
Right. Turning off the TV would certainly help. And it's hard to remember sometimes if it's just in the background. But keep in mind, background is still bad. And also, don't put a TV in your child's bedroom, because it can be very hard to police that. And if you go to CNN.com/empoweredpatient, we have more tips on how parents need to deal, not just with TV, but also with the internet. I mean, I know as a parent that dealing with just everything that's available to kids, it's really hard to control it. It can be really hard to get your kids to just turn things off. It sounds simple, but it's...
That woman, she breathes through her ears. Anyway, and you know what's... this is curious that this story came up today, because in today's cartoon, Baby Blues by Jerry Scott, the thing was, the little toddler's watching TV, and the mother sees it and goes, oh, my God, and puts a paper bag over its head. And then the father sees it and puts a paper bag over her head. So you got to, you don't know what the little guy's watching. You got to be careful. So that's the story right there. And here was a story in the news that was kind of fun about Jerry Scott, his own self, who does Baby Blues and Zits, has an interview with Lee Rubin, who does his own comic strip right there, Rubes. So what's going on is that Jerry Scott, and there's a picture in the paper yesterday of a painting that he did, and this is like looking at a cow nose on. I mean, this is a cute painting. It's funny. From this perspective of looking at a cow way up close to his nose. And then all you basically see is a big head. And anyway, but he had an interview with them because they're both very clever guys. And I had a chance. It's my fault. I need to do it. I have his card right handy. And it was how long ago did we have a thing in the plaza that it was a half a year ago that I met Lee Rubin, probably a year ago. Because he's a Central Coast guy, and they're both Central Coast guys. I said to Lee, I said, "Wait, I gotta get you in there and talk to you." Because I would think, I think cartooning is very hard. I would think you have to come up with a new idea every day. You have to come up with a new idea that works in one or two lines, or none. Pretty hard to me. Pretty hard to me. Wait, let me do my thing here. Let me do my teeming groceries. All right, Spencer's Fresh Market, teeming groceries all over the grocery store. It's teeming with stuff. They got fish, too. Let me see the fish right here. Teeming with fresh steelhead fillets for $6.99 a pound, or large barbecue oysters for $3.69 each, or other fishies and things. And so you can get that, and they even have fish food if you need it. And they have all the great stuff that you want to eat, and so they have top sirloin steaks. And their Harris Ranch meat is excellent. It really is excellent. So I promise you when the tri-tip hits the next time, Banneker will be there buying a tri-tip for the big reunion. Three heads of lettuce for $1. It's like almost too much. But, you could eat a whole lot of wedgies and whatnot for a week or whatever. And you see a whole seedless watermelon, $3.99 each. And they got all the local produce. You can always find local stuff. Local sweet strawberries are two one-pound packages for $4. I can get this out and say it the way I'm supposed to. And they got broccoli, and they got endive, they got white corn too for a bone. Just all the good stuff. They got soda pop specials all the time, and everybody drinks that too much of that stuff. But then they got energy drink specials, they got Gatorade specials, so they have all that kind of tricky stuff. And then don't forget the wonderful baked goods they have. And Frank Bouget has left the employ of Madonna Inn here about a year and a half ago, and now works for John Spencer. So you know what kind of cakes you're going to find there, and they're just absolutely fabulous, fabulous. And so you can do that. And then don't forget, they always got a great deli section with great things going on. Pochino Deli King Roast Beef for $5.99 a pound. Just when you get some yummy roast beef. And empanadas, $2 for $1. Chicken empanadas, $2 for $1. See, I can have that for lunch. Here's a pound of carrot and raisin salad, which would probably make you regular. And that's $1.99 a pound. So get to Spencer's Fresh Market and get the good stuff. In Atascadero, Morro Bay, at Rio Grande, Santa Maria, and in San Luis Obispo, California. There you go. Despite what somebody wrote on the Facebook page, which I'm not part of Facebook anymore, but they said that I go on and on and on. I look at the clock when I start talking about John Spencer's, and then I stop when the clock has reached 1 minute. I time it out. Okay. That's what I'm about, timing it out. Okay. Because people don't have enough to worry about. They need more things. Okay. Here was a very unusual fact that was revealed over the weekend on gosh knows what show I was watching. But here it was. When you fly at 30,000 feet, food tastes more bland. Now, obviously, they're not worried about food anymore. So, there's that. And so, unless you're in first class. But well, they do have to feed the first class people food. So now the question is, how do they feed first class people, some really good food and make it taste good? And so one of the things they were basically saying is they sort of have to overdo it, because otherwise it's not going to taste any good. Now, they didn't explain why at 30,000 feet food tastes different to you, but you're in a pressurized cabin. Isn't it supposed to be equal to the pressure that you you have when you're at sea level? Isn't that the idea? So I'm not sure. It could be just because you're sitting in a little space with a bunch of big, huge, bunch of sweaty people and stuff. And that just makes food taste different. Speaking of airplanes, and I am, let's see if this one, let me see if this is the one I want. Okay, nothing's quick today. I'm gonna tell you that. I have to share with you. Nothing's quick today. But when we hear it, it's good. It's good information.
It's the first nonstop flight. From Tokyo to Boston touches down at Logan Airport. When the Japan airline Boeing 787 Dreamliner pulls up to the gate, The pilot gives a thumbs up.
I visit to Tokyo and Okinawa half dozen times a year, and this is my dream day.
Living in Cambridge with a husband working in Japan, Hademi Bauman says until now, getting to Asia was a long, long trip.
You wake up 4 a.m. to come to Logan, and you have to stop for Washington, D.C., or Chicago, or elsewhere. It's already very tired.
This new flight is expected to cut as much as 6 hours off of travel time, a perk that is predicted to increase tourism in New England and improve work for the more than 200 Massachusetts firms doing business with Asia.
Create relationships that otherwise are not existing right now, but really to do business on a daily basis in Tokyo.
The Dreamliner is 20% lighter than most jets, making it more fuel efficient. Some of the highlights, the overhead bin here is double the size of a regular airline. Everything is controlled electronically, including the windows. There are no shades on these, just tints, as Ed Demling found out on the first flight.
The LED lighting reflects the season. So like the cherry blossoms are in bloom right now in Japan, so they had pink, purple lighting.
The plane carries 186 passengers. Flights will run 4 times a week until June 1st, then depart daily. After cutting the ribbon in Boston, Logan officials say the sky's the limit for future international travel out of here.
Wow, this thing took off in a big old rainstorm there. Anyway, so the Dreamliner is finally, the 787 is finally flying. It's taken forever, but they finally got that thing going there. It's only about 4 years past due, but it's, hey, you know, you try to work on the schedule as best you can. And then it goes from there. All right, I was going to tell you another story here, but, Ron Artest is now, as you may know, his name is World Peace. And so it's actually Meta World Peace. And so he says that it says meaningful and inspirational. But last night it wasn't meaningful and inspirational because he was playing ball, and Ron used to be a bad boy anyway. And so they were playing Oklahoma City, the Lakers, and he elbowed the guy in the back of the head. This was Oklahoma City guard Harden. And so he has a concussion. So now he was ejected from the game, World Peace. And now they're going to give him a piece of their mind. And I think that Ron Artest has contemplated the name change for years and always knew that he wanted his last name to be World Peace, but took many years of research and soul searching to find a first name that was both personally meaningful and inspirational, as publicist said. Back when World Peace was still Artest and played for the Indiana Pacers, he made headlines in 2004 for his role in a brawl between players and fans at a Pacers-Pistons game after somebody threw a drink on him. The NBA suspended Artest for 86 games. Fast forward to September 2011, Artest announced the new name change. Even before it was finalized by the court, World Peace was working on making the world a more peaceful place. Anyway, so in 2011, he raffled off his 2010 NBA championship ring to help mentally ill youths. For his work with the youth, he was given the NBA Citizenship Award for the philanthropic work. A star turn on Dancing with the Stars generated the basketball player a new legion of fans. But in the world, peace sometimes comes with a price. The NBA is now reviewing World Peace's Less Than Peaceful Actions. As they play on words and play on more words, and then they play on those words, you know. They bounced him out of the game, you know. It was, that's enough. We can get into dribble, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to get that. So I'm glad to see everybody turned out for that marathon. I guess that was a big success, which is cool. Like I said, I heard it, but I didn't see it. But anyway, that's really neat. All right. Now, here's an interesting thing on the front page of the Tribune today. Obama bypasses Congress more often. Frustrated with the inability of Congress to do anything, he turns to executive authority, which is not surprising. You know what I mean? Washington is doing nothing. Everybody's just pointing fingers at each other and saying you're an idiot. So good, that's not going to do it. Okay. Got a bachelor's degree. They had this in the news at noon. Good luck finding a job. Yeah, you're out of luck, I'll tell you. Young adults with bachelor's degrees are increasingly scraping by in lower wage jobs, waiter or waitress, bartender, retail clerk or receptionist, for example, and that's confounding their hopes of higher payoff, desperate higher tuition, and mounting student loans. And now it's gotten so bad, they're talking about letting the people file bankruptcy with certain student loans. That's going to help the economy, you can bet. Oh, Lord, help us. All right. Hunger Games got knocked out of number one spot, and because it didn't matter because I'm sure all the sporting goods stores are out of bows and arrows right now. Anyway, But what snuck in there, too, Think Like a Man and The Lucky One. They both snuck in there in front of the Hunger Games. Think Like a Man did, and I tell you what it did in money, $33 million. Titanic took in $5 million more. And Mirror, Mirror, the Julie What's-Her-Face star, I can't remember her name. She's down to $4.1 million, Julia Roberts. And so we were talking to Jim Dion Friday about that, and at some point, they talk about, a world market and all that kind of stuff, but at some point your cachet with the world market's going to poop out, I think, isn't it? I think hers has, I got to tell you. I don't know for sure. I don't know if she gets paid anymore, but I don't think it's good. Yeah. She's a good actress. But then again, you know what I was listening to, I put in my car on the CD player. I was listening to Leona Lewis's debut album. And you don't hear much about Leona Lewis anymore. She was kind of a, I don't want to say she was a flash in the pan. Kind of. I haven't heard anything about her for a long time. You always hear about Gaga. Now, so I don't know what happened to Leona Lewis. I think she was replaced by Adele. That's what I think is what actually happened. So you say, did PG&E receive a fair fine for, what went on with the pipelines? PG&E knew about the pipeline weld defects in 1989. They inspected them and said that some of the welds weren't up to snuff. And you know what they did about it? Nothing. So that's it right there. Now, here's an interesting story here, I think. Iran says it has secrets of the U.S. drone. They say they're going to backwards engineer it. Well, from the picture they showed on TV, and military people confirmed that that's what it was. Military, not military experts, not actually people in the military, but military experts that study the military, said it in fact was this certain kind of, let's see, what do they call it? They have a name for this drone. RQ-170 Sentinel. So the U.S. is saying there's no way they can reverse engineer it. They just don't have the snuff to do it. And they also, of course, are saying, and here's the other thing I have to admit, Iran was obviously full of poop when they said they shot it down because the thing was as intact as a thing could be. There's hardly any damage to it at all. I don't know why. I don't know if it lands itself or something. If it forgets to blow itself up, maybe it actually lands itself. I have no idea, but it somewhere, in the field or something. But anyway, it looked in pretty good shape. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll find out with that. Zimmerman released from Florida jail on $150,000 bail. Now, this whole case has been interesting. The chief of police down there, he boogied and said, okay, I should arrest the guy the day it happened, but he didn't. And so now he's been under pressure and he's resigned. And then the other thing is that's kind of curious in this particular case. This case is curious anyway. But so he came up with a $15,000 to be released. And they said he may not stay. They don't know where it's going. And he may not stay in the state. So I guess you can get court permission when you're out on bail to say, I want to, because they usually tell you, you don't leave the state. But they... maybe in this case they're saying you ought to leave the state. We'll see. All right, we're just a couple of seconds away here from the news. The weather guess, and I'm going to call it that from now on because they don't have any idea really. The weather guess is for rain on Wednesday and Thursday and then sunny after that and really swell. And not too bad tomorrow either.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The latest on Social Security and Medicare, not so good. The money is drying up faster in the slow economy.
The trustees overseeing Social Security and Medicare say things are getting worse. Social Security won't have enough money to pay everyone in 20 years. Medicare could run short in 10. The problem is that Americans are growing older, living longer, and the slow economy reduces the taxes coming in. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner.
We must take steps to keep these programs whole for the future.
Which Congress can do by changing benefits, raising taxes, or a combination of the two. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The insurance company MetLife will pay nearly $500 million in a settlement with more than 30 states for failing to provide life insurance benefits to some of its policyholders. $188 million is to be paid out this year. The White House says its internal probe of the president's staff and the Cartagena prostitute scandal shows no misconduct among them. However, there are 12 military members embroiled now, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
We have suspended the security clearances of individuals there, pending the results of this investigation.
A dozen Secret Service agents are also enmeshed in the scandal. Iran says it has disconnected its main crude oil terminal from the internet after a hack attack.
At Symantec, a California-based company that analyzes computer viruses, having examined two sophisticated cyber attacks on Iran's nuclear and energy industries in the past 2 years.
It's definitely not one or two young hackers.
Senior engineer Leah Murko says some government agency most likely created this malicious software that can stop industrial processes and send out secret files.
And that's not the type of threat that a regular consumer at home would see.
Symantec saying it's obvious Iran is under cyber attack. Dan Revive, CBS News.
The trial of former presidential candidate John Edwards is underway.
Federal prosecutors and defense lawyers painted far different pictures in their opening statements at John Edwards' trial. The government said he repeatedly, quote, denied and deceived that he knew illegal campaign contributions were used to hide an affair during his 2008 run for the White House. His lawyers told the jury Edwards' longtime aide Andrew Young actually used the money to build $1.5 million home in North Carolina.
That's CBS's Jim Crisula. Wall Street, the Dow down 102 points. NASDAQ lost 30. Oil, about $103 a barrel. More than half a dozen Nobel Peace Prize winners are gathered in Chicago for their annual meeting at which they discuss human rights and better understanding among people.
My expectation is that we will bring peace to the war-torn region of the Middle East.
That's the interpreter for Iranian activist Shirin Ebadi, the Peace Prize winner in 2003 who lives in the U.S. This is CBS News.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned sales event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned sales event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we handcraft policies like Italian shoes, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
In the disappearance of 6-year-old Eitan Pates 33 years ago, answers have not been found in a Manhattan basement.
NYPD Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown says Eitan Pates' parents got the word last night. Their son had not been entombed in this basement for 3 decades.
You had some of the best personnel from the FBI and the NYPD working together on this.
They found no obvious human remains, Brown says, adding that some follow-up testing is happening at the FBI lab in Quantico.
It remains a missing persons case.
With wilted white flowers sticking out of the soon to come down police barricades, there's still a note on the Pates' door a half block away. The answer to all your questions at this time, it says, is no comment. Alex Silverman, CBS News, New York.
Great quote from a waitress at a diner in Pennsylvania where it is snowing. We had summer in the middle of winter and now we're paying for it. A foot or more of snow has fallen in parts of Pennsylvania and western New York, and there are several inches in West Virginia and parts of Maryland. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy 4 select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
Talk is cheap with Bill Benneker.
The MRI system everyone has been waiting for is now at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Patients love it. No more claustrophobia. No more masks over your face. No more tight spaces. And imaging speed to get you in and out faster than any other magnet made. Plus, doctors love its unsurpassed image quality. The Siemens Skyra produces images doctors only dreamed of before. When you need your next MRI, ask for the new, wide-open, ultra-high-field Siemens Skyra at San Luis Diagnostic Center. Even if you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Best image quality, the greatest patient comfort, and the lowest possible price. Why should you go anywhere else? When you need an MRI, call San Luis Diagnostic Center. 542-9700. That's 542-9700. To schedule your exam on the most modern equipment available.
Hey, Pops, what's with all this talk about the Drake?
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake a duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
The radio you're listening to right now brings you music, news, sports, and talk programs. Or it's just a noisy, knobby box. The difference is your ability to hear what's coming out of it. Karen Scott is your certified Central Coast audiologist with offices in San Luis Obispo and Arroyo Grande. Karen can take you beyond the noisy, knobby box phase of your life and into a world of listening enjoyment. You or your loved one is just an appointment away from a whole new life of hearing your sweetheart, family, children, grandchildren, your radio, and yes, even the neighbors. Karen can make your whole world a better place to live and listen in. Karen has numerous products that she can recommend and fit perfectly, and her caring follow-up service puts her at the top of the professional audiology ladder. Serving the Central Coast for 23 years, Karen's main office is at 1985 Johnson Avenue by French Hospital, and you can make an appointment right now by calling 541-1790. Do it for yourself, for those you love, and for those of us inside your noisy, knobby box. Karen will help you hear all of us say thank you.
I'm real popular with black people. I won't say African American because I have been to Canada and Belize and Guam. And black people know me there too, all six of them. One, my wife's black and my kids are mixed. So I have a lot of insight that probably a lot of white people don't have as far as black people go because I'm having sex with one a lot. So, and it's fun. I really enjoy it. Only thing I think black people don't want you to do, they don't want you to pander to them, like, as I'm saying, as I'm Gary off stage, I'm Gary on stage. I'm not going to be up there in front of black guys like, what's up, this is me. No, I'm still the same guy. The only thing with white people is, you know, there's some subjects that be like, hey, wait a minute. Black people don't care. You know, like, you can do the Catholic scandal with the little boys, and white people just be like, oh, you won't get a laugh, they'll be, oh. But if you talk about Eddie Long with black people, they'll be like, oh, Bishop Long! Run around the chair. I've been to that church. White guys that want to date black girls, I will say this. Be yourself. Don't dance too hard. It's better just to stay in the corner when you're at the club and bob your head. You can't go wrong with a head bob. Don't be doing too much. Nobody does a running man anymore. That's wrong with white people. We do, the dances don't fit the song. It's like we're doing the wrong dance to the wrong song. Like we're doing the running man to the Dougie. It doesn't matter. We're running Dougie. Dougie, run!
I guess I was hoping they're going to preface who that was before they did it, but they didn't. So that was Gary Owen, who's the comedian guy and the star of the new movie Think Like a Man. That was number one at the box office. Right now, you're Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network. This is my news and commentary, by the way, and it's 1340 KYNS. Your news station. So that's what's happening right here. All right. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Oh, apparently, and also, you know what, there's a movie out now that has, it's called The Lucky One, did number two, right? Lucky One? That's with the Zaxter from Aurora Grandy, and he had to do a love scene with some young lady that he said he didn't mind at all. Didn't, thought we should do it more often, more takes. He liked it. All right, other things that are going on in our world. I have to mention this because I just have to, because Bob Cuddy wrote a column today that I totally agree with, sort of. I think he pulls back on the reins a little bit too much. Slow code crusade goes a little too far, and this is all the things about what you can have and not have in your yard, on your porch, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of over the top. I think it's a little much. Where you draw the line between community standards and individual rights, San Luis Obispo's community consistently draws them too far in the direction of the so-called common interest. Keep your trash cans out of view. Don't feed the ducks. Don't smoke. And so now they kind of do this thing about whatever. And we have, so we've hired two people. Have we hired them? We're just trying to, we have two people now that are neighborhood consultants. Or some ridiculous name. Code enforcement. They call them something else to make it sound good. So anyway, so it's really fun right there. I'll be honest. My next door neighbor, and I have to admit, as I look at it, unless they could, they have both cars in the garage, so they couldn't put it in there. There's just no way it would fit in there. And I give them credit for having two cars in the garage. But my next door neighbors, they have their trash cans are in the right along the edge of their driveway, back by the garage, and I don't think they look bad. They seem like an appropriate place to me, because their house is on this crazy hillside, and I don't know where the hell where they could put the darn things. If it wasn't right there. So I guess they're supposed to, what, build some kind of a thing around it? Then you got to go to a homeowners association. You know, you got to get permission. You got to have drawings. You have to have plans. You have to have an architect approval. I mean, by the time you, and this is just to cover up getting trash cans. So this is why people say, I think it's okay. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with it, so I don't see any point. But okay. No, I'm not going to rat them out. I'm just not going to do it. All right. So there was that. And then, and we congratulate the Tribune for winning four state journalism awards. Good for them. But there's another thing in here I want to tell you about. It was on my brain. So here we go again. So the thing is, landlords should be kept held accountable for pet issues. So here's what you really have. This is what's so completely bizarre about the Tribune agreeing with this. And so you know they passed this new ordinance about vicious dogs. And so after a certain number of warnings, fines, whatever, for the owner of the pet, the landlord can then be fined. Now, here's where you're between a rock and a hard place. If you have a lease, you know, let's say a year lease, and 2 months into the year lease, the dog starts acting up. You know, 4 months into the year lease, the guy's paid the fines ticket, and then and now it's your turn. You can't kick the guy out if you have a lease, you know, unless you give, you can't kick him out, or he or she or it. Kids, whatever it is, you can't kick them out if they have a lease. So they make it seem like you could just say, well, I'll just give you 30 days notice. Month-to-month renters, you can give a 30-day notice too. Not the lessees. So I don't know what they're thinking about with that. And so I truly predict what's going to happen is, I guarantee you what's going to happen is, you know, if you have in your lease, you know, no pets, no smoking, you know, no whatever that you want to put in there, and they sign that lease, then that's an agreement of that. So if you are, if they decide they're going to get a dog after the fact or not tell you they have a dog, and they sign a lease that says no pets, well, then they violated the lease, so you can say goodbye. But the interesting thing is that, to me, is that it's so weird, is that, you know, you can have people that can, unbeknownst to you, have a dog arrive, you know, later on in their lease. you know, and then start to cause problems, and you don't find out about it until, I guess, do you get a warning as a landlord, or do they just come and show up with a fine? I don't know, maybe they give you a warning. I think it's kind of weird. I just really do. I don't think a landlord should have anything to do with it. Because you don't know, there's a lot you can't do. So I hate to say this, but I would think that what they do is they fine the guy however many times that owns the animal, the person that owns the animal, and then they impound it. Everybody goes, oh, you don't impound the animal. It's not the animal's fault. It's a vicious, mean, terrible thing. Well, it sure as hell isn't the landlord's fault either. You got nothing to do with it. So I would have to say that I would think that fewer landlords are going to say, yeah, you can have a pet. Why would you stick your neck out and do that? That's my thought. I know I said I don't know, but I don't know. That's my thinking right there. Okay, now here's other things that are going on in our world. Snow White mentality needs to be put to a rest. Okay, and this is Leonard Pitts Jr., and I really like this column today. He basically says the Snow White mentality is this idea that all a woman aspires to, and it's perpetrated in movies all the time, it's perpetrated constantly in the media, it's that women aspire to being Miss Housewife, you know, Mrs. somebody, not necessarily housewife, but Mrs. somebody. And they say that, he says it's just really ridiculous. Is it less a comment on marriage than the notion that marriage is the holy grail of a woman's existence, the finish line of life's hopes, dreams, and goals? That is a fable upon which the Disney company built an empire. But the fable is not confined to the multiplex. To the contrary, you can see it played out on a weekly basis in the headlines of any given publication on your local supermarket checkout line. Consider one from the most recent big stories from the land of the beautiful people. It seems that one William Bradley Pitt and one Angelina Jolie Voight recently became engaged to be married. Already the celebrity gossip mills are buzzing with a critical question that raises how will it affect Jen? You remember Jen was the ex of Bradley Pitt. Who cares? More, I'm glad to see the columnists are staying grounded with the idea of why do you care? Why do you care? If it doesn't have anything to do with you, why do you care? You can be curious. Oh, that's interesting. I suppose. But not you don't have to care about it. You don't have to cuss about it or be unhappy about it or be elated about anything that has to do with somebody else's life that's not part of your world. You know, I don't know, you know, but I realize the gossip magazines, you know, people love them and all that. But I have a different way of looking at life. I really do. I'm like, if it's not affecting me and it's not about, you know, world hunger and stuff, if it's just some silly thing that is some crazy little thing that everybody's getting all upset about for no reason at all, I don't let myself get drawn into it. If it doesn't affect me, if I don't have to, the only reason, if it affects me, if I let myself get drawn into it, then it'll affect me. So I avoid that altogether and say, okay, I'm not going to worry about it. That's just me, though. Some people just like to have all kinds of crazy stuff. Here's the Zach. Let's have Zaxter come up here.
Famously, we get along famously.
Yeah. Taylor's extraordinarily talented, and I think, you know, I always like to work with people that take it to the next level, and seeing her preparation, and we had a great time. It was a great experience.
Yeah, and I feel exactly the same way. It was pretty extraordinary from our you know, my screen test for the role. Zach and I sort of clicked immediately, and I was sort of in awe of his generosity as a scene partner, and it was pretty amazing.
There's probably a lot of young women who would say, wow, you got to do a love making scene with Zach. They're probably a little jealous, I'm thinking.
I'm very lucky. What can I say? Very lucky.
I was pretty lucky too, I think. It was. She's not bad.
There you go, right there. You can't beat that right there. Other things that are happening in our world. Other things going on. Morro Bay, Marin City Council, 8-5 for votes in the June primary. So, you know, I was talking about going to Morro Bay. And here they have all kinds of stuff going on. They had their chili event and Hot Wheels in Cambria. So that went well. And you know that from now until the end of time, as far as next season, It doesn't even matter what the season is. Every weekend we have stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And we're going to have there's going to be, once again, coming up, and this is interesting to me, Cinco de Mayo, April 5th, May 5th, Bill, May 5th, Bill, not Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, there's going to be the Birth and Baby Fair, and we're going to get Jennifer Stover in here to Yakima. It's going to be in the plaza. So I was thinking, well, you know, you can't be pregnant and then go drink a pitcher of margaritas, you know, because that doesn't work. So... Oh, they have these faux cocktails now, don't they? I think they have these things. You know, they're virgin cocktails. You could probably make a margarita as a virgin cocktail, couldn't you? Take some margarita mix and then margarita mix. Sounds yummy, doesn't it? Okay, margarita mix. So here you have family coming that you haven't seen for years, and I forgot to ask them the question on the phone. And Nancy said, well, do they like to drink a cocktail? Do they like beer? Do they like wine? How do I know what they like? You know? I don't know. So I may have to buzz them back or email or something. What is it you do? They could both be drunks, for all I know. You know, they'll demand huge quantities of alcohol that I can't afford. I have no idea what's going to happen. Here's a senator, because this is another one of these things that we have fought about to the point of who cares, and my evaluation is this: you could save enough plastic bags. Let's say they're going to go to a bag ban. Let's say you get a bag ban a year from now. You could save enough plastic bags in the time that's going to be before they. So every meat or dairy product or anything like that that could contaminate a bag, a grocery bag, cloth grocery bag. You'll have enough bags for the rest of your life, pretty much. You know, maybe not all the rest of your life, but quite a while from when you're going to buy the meat one. But here's the senator wants grocery bags that come with a warning. So as a growing number of California cities and counties have adopted ordinances banning the distribution of single-use plastic bags in the name of reducing litter and ocean pollution, State Senator Tony Strickland, who's often in the news, is concerned about a different threat at the grocery checkout line, reusable cloth bags. He said they get icky poo and everything, and so he said every cloth bag sold in California should come with a warning label. They'll also require grocers to conspicuously display a warning near where reusable bags are sold. There are 43 jurisdictions in the state, including San Luis Obispo County, that ban single-use plastic bags in grocery stores. San Luis Obispo County's ordinance is going to take effect October. It bans plastic bag and charges customers for paper bags. And there's the other thing, too, that you can, you know, just a thought. You know, you get and you make sure that the bag, because here's the choices you have from what I've seen. You can either get a cloth bag, like a cotton bag, in which case you could just wash it, you know, because that works. And then they have other ones that are sort of plastic of some kind, vinyl or whatever it is. And those could certainly be rinsed out and dried. We'll get through it. You know, it's one of these big jumps we have to make. And once we make it, you know, we'll all get used to whatever it is we're going to be doing. And we'll wonder why we ever decided that we hadn't paid so much attention to it. or you might have wondered that quite a while back.
The Dr. Ronald Hoffman Show is sponsored by San Luis Obispo's Natural Foods Co-op.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy, alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods Co-op, you'll find local organic produce and local pasture-raised meats, as well as organic grocery and bulk items. We have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high-quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest prices possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount at the register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and a membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op with San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop. Anyone can join.
Tom, are you okay? He looks like he's in shock. Tom, can you hear me? What happened?
It happened at Rancho Grande.
Rancho Grande?
Rancho Grande Motors. It was a normal day. I thought this was the perfect time to get a new car, so I started looking. All the other dealerships were filled with these high-pressure sales guys. They kept coming at me in wave after wave after wave.
Tom, it's okay. You're here now.
Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, I went to Rancho Grande Motors. The people there were helpful without trying to put the squeeze on me. They answered every question I had and were totally upfront and honest about every vehicle.
Wait, a car dealer that was upfront and honest?
They said it's because they live here too. They want to be good neighbors and make sure I'm a customer for life. I couldn't believe it. I found the perfect place to buy a pre-owned vehicle, Rancho Grande Motors.
No wonder you're in shock. Where did you say Rancho Grande Motors was?
1404 Auto Park Way. A little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
Music once again, and that was Nancy Rumble, and that was called La Fogata. I'm doing Latin music, obviously, by various artists from who is it, the collection? Who does that stuff? Let me tell you what I'm trying to say to you. Oh, Narada, from Narada's collections, different stuff. Here, Bill, this is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. I thank you for joining me today. Now, here's a thing that's been in the news before, and it's back in the news again. And I wish we had an expert that would tell us exactly what the deal is, but I think I can guess. Okay, I'll guess, and then I'm gonna get something else talking about shopping carts, but I'll guess. And so the there's this big issue about how many birds get chopped up in the windmill up in Tehachapi. Now they want to build another wind farm, and so they're protesting that because they say, you know, the endangered condor could get chunked up there, and that would be bad. And so so there's this issue right there. Now, birds, because I have a lot of them in my backyard, birds are dumb. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that right out. I observe them, and they're not the brightest things in the whole wide world, but that's neither here nor there. The thing is that I assume the reason they keep the wind turbines painted white and all one color is that it's less, it's more appealing to humans' visual, you know, impact than it would otherwise be if they did something else. But so the question becomes, if you put little lines or dashes or dots or something on the blades so that the birds might realize that they can't fly through that space they see, would it stop that? And how, and what kind of a thing could you put on it so that you and I wouldn't be offended by looking at it? I only go to Tehachapi when I'm going to Las Vegas, so I don't really pay much attention to the whole thing anyway. But let's just say, okay, so you got the Tehachapi. You would think that we could do something that wouldn't, I mean, I'm not talking about putting big red stripes on or something, but you could maybe do something subtle, but that the bird would realize that it couldn't fly through the blades. Because you have to admit, when we look at it as human beings, we go, yeah, I wouldn't try to fly through there if I was Superman, let's say. If I am faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful locomotive, and able to beat tall buildings with a single bound. I don't think I'd fly through that. Don't know the answer. Because I don't really know. See, scientists would know. There's decorators or somebody that would know what impacts these visual things have on us. And that's what we need to find out. So there's a wind turbine thing. Then there's a big thing about solar farms somewhere. Solar thing. There's a Popo, who's the Mexican volcano, gets more active right now. It's actually Popo Cotopetti, but they shortened it to Popo to make it kind of cute, which when it's raining ash and molten lava down on you, I don't think you really need to make a cute name out of it. But it's easier to say, run, Popo, run, instead of trying to come up with the whole word Popo Cotopetti back there. Okay, so that's the deal there. All right, other things are going on. Other things that are happening. Better conditions. This was an interesting letter. I thought somebody wrote. Kamina Tripodi from Rio Grande said, she lives near a strawberry field down there in Rio Grande, and she said, I noticed that the workers were out in the midday when it was real hot, when we had this real hot weather, over the weekend. They were out in midday picking the strawberries, and she said, there's other businesses that operate at night. They can now get these really bright LED lights, that don't use a lot of juice, and they operate at night. And why would we have people out picking stuff in the middle of the day when they could be out picking the stuff at night? Well, here's the other way of looking at it, too, I think. I mean, I understand what she's saying, but the chances are where they're living, I'm going to guess this. I'm just saying this. I'm going to guess it's not air-conditioned. Uh-huh. My house isn't air-conditioned. I'm making more than a guy in the field. Not a lot, but a little. And so I don't have air conditioning, so I think that perhaps, if you had a choice of being able to sleep in the daytime when it was cool, it would be okay. But if you have to try to sweat it out in some little place, that would work. That's my guess. Arizona's alternative, this is Kurt, who was recently in Arizona, obviously, and said that they have all kinds of places they let homeless people park and sleep overnight so that they don't have issues. There's turnouts and all kinds of things. And they said it's in parking lots and things that people can do. I don't know if I mentioned this Friday or not. No, I think I did. Okay, I think I did. Now, Carol called and said that we were talking about the bags at the supermarket. She says what she's put off by, takes her own little cart, and some people do, to the market. You ever seen people with a little cart? She says she does that because the carts are so pooey. They're disgusting, They don't get washed very often. Do they ever get washed? You'd have to ask a store. I don't know if they ever get washed. Something doesn't appear that they do. The one thing I always do now, and I'm sure glad they started putting those Sani wipes out there by the shopping carts, is I wipe the handle and I wipe where a baby would sit, because forget about where the baby actually would sit. I don't know what this has to, I don't know how this happens, but anyway, maybe people balance the baby on the handle before they put them in. I don't know what they do. But the last survey they did, the last study they did on shopping carts in the United States, 72% of the handles of shopping carts had fecal matter on them. 72%. So you can bet I'm wiping and swiping that, and I'm wiping the baby's part, you know. It actually just, you know, you cannot put anything in there. But she's saying the rest of the cart's not exactly sanitary looking. So it depends on how, it just depends on how your brain works and how, you know, how much you're worried about these things. You know, if somebody's going to put a bag in the cart, then you say, okay, but then after the bag's been in the cart, then you're going to take it into your house. No matter what kind of bag it is. Unless you carry the bags. I don't know. I think it's tonight on what's it called? It's a new like talk show thing with on Channel 4 and Brian Williams. And so I think it's tonight. I think it's Brian Williams. Anyway, they're going to talk about Costco. And they're going to say, you know, people talk about how, you know, they go to Costco, they spend $100. And they say Costco has that figured out, but not in probably the way you might think. So let me think for a second. Well, I don't know. I think it's sort of you know, you see, you have to ask yourself, what are the things on the perimeters, you know, because that's kind of how Costco is designed. You know, you're going to have to go up certain aisles, and then, you know, I'm not sure, because there's a lot of stuff on those aisles I don't care about. Then you get back to where, let's say you get back to where they got the food. Of course, they have demos all the time. They want you to eat some food and try it. And so it's actually quite good. And then they got a bakery department. It's all by itself. And that's backed by the booze. I know that stores are designed. So you pay more if you are showing something in a grocery store, it's on display. You pay more the closer it is to eye level. In a supermarket, the distributor or manufacturer pays more for eye level shelving. Than the people for what's on the bottom, for instance, or what's on top where you can't reach it. Because at one time, what was the store? It became the Natural Food Store. Before that, it was something else. It became New Frontiers. New Frontiers in the Foothill Plaza area. That I'm trying to remember whose market it was before that. It doesn't matter. It was one of Vons or something. Anyway, the stuff was stacked. That's because it's a small store. The stuff was stacked so high that elderly people constantly were asking you if you could reach something for them, which I didn't mind at all. You know, it was fine. But I knew if I went into the store, if I went into that store, that elderly people were going to be asking me to get stuff for them. Because they would have had to have a ladder to get some of that stuff. That's how high it was stacked. All right, enough of that. I already had weird thoughts about the grocery business today, right? So let's see what else is going on. Cal Poly, we already know this, but I think it's confirmed. Cal Poly is going to be working on Duval's Ranch, this Cal Poly class, and so they're going to give that the go, which is really cool. On the employment scene, one job forward, two jobs back in California, we're back to 11%. And then this was fun, these local girls right here. Two San Luis Obispo High School Tiger Girls are garnering national attention for their hot music video, Hot Problems, created by Drew Garrett and Lauren Wiley, as the pop duo Double Take has attracted nearly 2 million hits on the video sharing site of YouTube in just 5 days. They've been all on TV and all that kind of set. In Hot Problems, the teens lament the travails of being attractive. So it's kind of cute, really, you know. And we got our own, even though we're attractive, we have our own problems. So, so that's kind of cute. And they're cute little girls. I think they're juniors. Okay, this is really fascinating. This is because it was in the Sunday paper. The 420 beach party fell through, so they were worried about all these thousands of people showing up on National Stoners Day, which was last, Friday, to head down to the beach and everything. And that's made 300 people visit the beach, far fewer than the thousands Pismo police had worried about. Alcohol is prohibited on the public beach, and having a DJ would trigger the requirement for a special permit, which they didn't have. They guess they didn't have problems with the alcohol, and everything looked pretty good. And then, here's the thing right here. Here's a new thing called Flash Cash. How cool is this? People do some cool stuff. People do a lot of dumb stuff. They also do some cool things. Here it is right here. Buy a local movement. Here comes the cash mob. Cash mobs, similar to flash mobs, bring together strangers to support locally owned businesses by buying up the store's products. So that's what they do. Somebody picks a store and they say, okay, let's everybody meet at such and such time and we're going to buy the store out. And I'll see how much stuff we can buy from a single store. And it supports local commerce, which I think is just the coolest thing in the whole wide world. I'd like to get on, I would, if I had a business, I'd want to be on the Flash Cash favorites list. So, yeah. That is interesting. The trend is part of a larger buy local movement that has emerged in response to the rise of big box national chains that are putting the squeeze on mom and pop stores. Los Angeles activists, for example, are mobilizing the challenge of building permits issued to Walmart, the world's largest retailer. Cash mobs have clearly harnessed social media to make small businesses the means of the men of the movement. Tough economic times have raised awareness about the plight of Main Street. I'm glad to see finally that sort of sinking in. I don't know why it's just now it's starting to sink into people about, you know, how Main Street's doing. I'm not sure why it took that long, but better late than never, I say. I say it and I mean it, too. Better late than never. So that's good news right there. All right. Here's a new term. There's always a term for people. You can't be just a parent or a man or a woman. You have to fit into somebody's category. So here, Claudia Buck, who covers personal finance for the Sacramento Bee, has decided that there are a thing called helicopter parents. However, as adult children seek jobs. He just graduated, he has a degree, he's sharp, he doesn't know what he wants to do, but I think he'd be good at human resources. So the helicopter parenting, the encounter was perhaps the next local phase because the things are so bad work-wise, which we just talked about earlier. Clearly parenting hovering doesn't end at a college graduate, but continues well into the job hunt. According to a recent survey of more than 3,000 employers by the Collegiate Employment Research Association. You know, I have to see, and this is interesting. This is interesting news for me. I have to try to relate to this. I mean, I really have to try to relate to this. Because, you know, I went in the Navy when I was 17 years old. And didn't go to college till after I got out of the service. And I had the GI Bill, which wasn't huge, but it was, you know, enough to kind of tide me over most of the time. But I actually did this. I had to do this. I knew I had, you know, really limited funds, and so I used to be, before the days of the cell phone and the calculators and all that kind of stuff, you know, they used to have little clickers that you could, you know, add up things, you know, tens and hundreds, tens, ones, whatever, and you could click on it, and every time you bought something, you could click on it. I had to take one of those to the market because I had to make sure that I never went over, I forget what, $20 a week or whatever it was. I had to make sure I couldn't eat more than that. I couldn't afford it. But it was okay, you know. People look back and they say, "Well, you know, times were shit, you know, bad." Not necessarily, you know. You were short of dough, but it wasn't the end of the world. For some people, it is. I mean, people that are poor and not eating. I'm not talking about the average person that's not, you know, well off. I'm talking about people that are, you know, other people. All right, other things going on in our world. Helicopter parent. I didn't know that. I never thought I'd be a helicopter parent. Or I didn't know there was going to be a helicopter parent. My parents could be helicopter parents. Of course, they're both deceased. But it depends on what you believe, you know. They'd be flapping around all over. They could be disturbing the room. Like, I can't believe. Speaking of which, this was funny. Mythbusters. I was watching an episode of Mythbusters this weekend. And this was very interesting, I thought. They actually took a trailer that was towed behind a vehicle. They took a trailer. And so the question was, somewhere some scientist had said, if you put a flock of birds in a trailer that have weight, and then they fly around, the trailer is still going to weigh the same. And when you think about it, you think, well, no, that's not possible because they're no longer on the trailer. They're flying around. They're not landing. And what they did was they put two big, huge apparati on the bottom of the thing, two sticks, you know, like a big sticks things. And so they were centered on these turntables so that the birds couldn't land. They could, for the few seconds they did this, so they couldn't land. And so some bird lady brought the pigeons. I think it was 20 pigeons. Amazing thing about MythBusters is some of the stuff that they have that can measure things that you've never heard of in your whole wide world. But they had things that could actually. So what they did was they measured the weight of the trailer. They zeroed it. Then they put the birds in, and they were all roosting because there's a roost that they could collapse, and then they had to fly around. And so then they zeroed it to the roosting thing, whatever it was. Anyway, so then they dropped this thing so the birds have to fly. And they only had to do it for a few seconds, which they did. And the weight of the trailer on the scale didn't change. And I have to admit, when I saw it and they said it didn't change, I was kind of going, how's that? And it's just like this old thing about, you know, if you could jump up in the air real fast when an elevator's about to hit the bottom, you know, could you save yourself? No. And this is the same thing. Basically, the amount of force it takes for the animals to fly, and that wind then exerts pressure on the bottom of the trailer so that it's the same thing as if they were landing, because it takes that much. You know, you figure they have to be able to be airborne, so they have to use enough lift to carry their own weight. Where's Meow the cat? Have you seen Meow the cat? 40 pounds. This cat weighs 40 pounds. This is a cat. You know, you think, there's some dogs that weigh 40 pounds, you know. People that weigh 40 pounds. So it's eating contest. They have hamburgers weigh 40 pounds. But I'm talking about a 40-pound cat. And so what they're doing is they're trying to get it, this animal shelter, wherever it is, they're trying to get it down to size a little bit better before so somebody can adopt it, because they don't think somebody's going to want to adopt it the way it is now. Okay. It's like, we're not sure. That somebody's going to want a 40-pound cat, so we're thinking, well, maybe this is what we need to do. And so you can understand that. Other things, because there are other things. And let me tell you, I'll tell you what our last song is going to be today, though, just so you know. If you like the music today, it is, again, this is Narada's music collection. And it is Jesse Cook and Breeze from St. Marie's. Breeze from St. Marie's. There you go. So that's what it's actually called, and that's the way it's going to be. So guess what? Tomorrow we're supposed to have sunshine again, so that should make us happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Look at me. I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I'll give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Now listen to what I say. In your life, expect some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
I'm happy you joined me for Monday edition of Talk of Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on KYNS, your news station. I'm Bill Backa, thanking you for your time, and we'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, mail your trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye. Again.
CBS News.